Good morning. My name is Monica Cornetti, and I'm your host for the weekly Gamification Talk radio program. I love doing this program because every week I learn something new about gamification, a different approach, a different strategy, some insight into something I didn't have before. And that is my hope for you also, as the listeners of this program, that same thing happens for you as you listen to the guests that we have here weekly, that you think, wow, I just had not thought of that from that perspective. And when you hear my guest today, you'll understand why I get so excited about this program. I mean, together, you and I, we get to meet the most creative and talented and smart professionals who share their experiences and their knowledge, and they just come and they willingly share it with us each week. And this week, my guest is a gentleman named Joshua Roberts, and our topic today is in the arena of instructional design. And we're going to be exploring how to take advantage of video games in the world of learning. Now, I connected with Joshua, and I'm not sure how the connection started, but I'm sure it was through Twitter, and I linked to his blog article because it was about choices and decisions in e-learning and what we can learn from The Walking Dead, the video game series. And from that one blog article, I was hooked. I thought, who is this guy? Who is he? I need to connect with him today. And I did. I reached out to him right away. Josh is going to be sharing with us today how to take advantage of video games in the world of learning and what that looks like, and how to take the best aspects of video games, how to apply that information in instructional design and e-learning development. Today we're going to explore that creative inspiration and how you can use popular video games and take it and kind of dissect it. Look at the instructional theories that game developers use to pull it all together and to portray the information. We're going to focus on creating powerful and engaging scenario-based learning and systems training. So before we get started, just let me give you a brief background on Josh. Josh is an experienced instructional designer who focuses on gamification methods and video game theories for application in learning. There have been a number of large international corporate companies Josh has worked with to implement his approach, all of which have had huge success in engagement numbers. So go out and take a look at his LinkedIn site, all his awards and kudos, and he's just done an amazing job. He's a key speaker at gamification and e-learning events in the UK, where his reputation continues to grow. And the deconstruction of video game theory provides the background to his blog and is a useful resource for instructional designers and e-learning developers. You can look down below in the text and you'll see the link to Josh's blog, and I'll be sure to talk about that before we wrap up today too. So I want to jump right in because I have 20 million questions to ask Josh in 30 minutes. So ready, set, go. Thank you so much for being a guest on the program today. I know it sounds so geeky, but talking about instructional design, this is just like my favorite subject, and I'm so excited. So thank you, Josh, for being with us.
Thank you for having me.
So let's talk about games. How have games influenced your life?
Well, I mean, games have always played a part in my life. I mean, I'm from Generation Y, so I mean that's my childhood. You know, too many countless nights up playing computer games, and you know, my memories go back to things like classic sort of point and click adventure games, things like Monkey Island and Broken Swords, you know, games that I remember sitting up at, you know, 6, 7 years of age, just sitting there playing. You know, so they've always had an impact for me, and what I'm pleased to see, I guess, now in 2015 is the way that games have spread across, you know, across the sort of culture barriers, and that actually a lot more people are talking about games, you know, than they were when back sort of 15, 20 years ago.
Yeah, I bet your mother's glad too that you were found a way to monetize all that game playing.
Yeah, I mean, yeah, it
See, Mom, it
absolutely.
paid off. I told you.
Yeah, and I used to sit there and make Mum watch me play video games as well. So all the hours she had to endure of just staring at a screen with me controlling everything, you know, hopefully will start to pay off for her now.
Yeah, that's good. So when you look at games, how do you view games now? I know that it's been a great source of entertainment, learning, relaxation for you, whatever that was why you played. But how do you view games now that you're an instructional designer?
Well, I guess You know, I guess I've become a little bit more critical of games, but at the same time had a much greater appreciation for what's involved in game design. And when I first became involved in instructional design, I sort of quickly realized that a lot of the elements that I've been experiencing for years in games actually are the same things that we're trying to pull through in learning and learning design. So, you know, I think about now the way I look at introductions to games. Yeah, and I think about, as a game designer, you're essentially trying to do the same job as me. You know, you are trying to draw people in, engage people with that content, but at the same time, you're teaching them about game mechanics, the skills needed to play, whereas I'm trying to teach people about important information, you know, or policies that they need to know about. You know, potentially a slightly harder job at my end, as that end detail isn't usually as fun. But essentially, we're working on the same things.
And I guess as a game designer, it's the same concept, too, that it's not necessarily a diversity issue that they're trying to make the training about, but then it's still that we're trying to develop a profitable game. So yeah. We still have that end in mind besides just the design of the game. So did you want to be an instructional designer? How did you get into that?
No, I think like a lot of instructional designers, I stumbled into that. You know, a lot of the people that I speak to have sort of followed a similar path. They, you know, I had this great interest in e-learning. That's where it stemmed from. And I thought, how can I get into that? And I started about 7 years ago now in instructional design. So sort of fresh from university and really, really looking into the subject in a lot more detail. Started developing myself in e-learning courses, and then just started to branch out into instructional design, because that creativity is what I really wanted to be a part of. And of course, for me, it was the closest thing I was getting to being a game designer.
When you look at your skill set, do you have a, well, I can tell from your writing that you're a good writer. Are you an artist? What's your skill set that wanted you to get into e-learning?
Yeah, so I think it's mainly the writing. It was mainly the writing and the fact that I wanted to be able to create something for somebody that they would find engaging. Mm-hmm. You know, that's quite a key thing is, you know, I didn't just want to look at, you know, my artistry is relatively poor. but actually, you know, the creativity that I can sort of employ in those situations is what did it for me.
Your writing, although you might not be able to actually paint the picture, your words paint the picture for people. So that's a really great thing. It really is.
It's good to know.
Okay, so let's talk about that, because that's how I found you, was finding that your blog article. So your blog article focused on how to use games as an inspiration for decision making and learning, and two different blog articles out there, same thing. A different perspective, though. So let's talk about the Walking Dead one first, the one that introduced me to you. How do you see that when you're thinking about decision making and learning? Let's talk about that. Help me with.
So essentially, you know, I just give a little bit of background to anybody that hasn't actually played the Walking Dead video game series, and if you haven't, I urge you to go and do that. You certainly won't regret it. But it basically, The Walking Dead's an episodic sort of interactive drama game where you play a key part in how the story unfolds. And that all revolves around the decisions that you make in the game. So there's several key mechanics that are used in that, which essentially sort of keep you on your toes, and they start to build up your understanding of choices and decisions. So what I wanted to do is in this article is look at The Walking Dead and all of the great things from that and pull out those elements that can help us to create better scenarios in instructional design and in e-learning, because there's a lot of things currently that I describe as choices, which aren't necessarily a bad thing. But what a choice does is a choice gives you usually a calculated option for which is the best path to follow. So you understand that if you wanted to, you wouldn't put your hand in a hot fire, because you understand the results of that and it isn't going to be a pleasant experience. Whereas what The Walking Dead does is it uses decisions. So a decision is something that you have a basic understanding of how that will affect something in the short term, but you're not sure how it will affect you in the long term. And that's the sort of idea we're trying to pull through to scenario building in e-learning.
When I read the article, your most recent one this morning, I was just thinking about design that we just finished recently, and it was for cranes, those big cranes that go on oil rigs. And we started the class with a crane fail. So I started with a video of what happens, and this crane, when the load capacity is wrong, the crane collapses. I mean, it looks like it's toothpicks falling to the, and so it's one of those. And then we took the class back through of why this is important, because based on that video and everything that they were learning about it. But I really liked your idea of, you said in the beginning, to set it up, because you don't want to just slam people. You don't want them to fail. You know, don't want them to get to this. So how could people do that little setup? They understand right from the beginning in the training, not just from watching the video, but they understand in the training that their answers in the training will have consequences, or their decisions will affect future. And those are two different things.
Yeah. So I think that there's a piece to do at the beginning of any piece of training like that, that is giving the user just an understanding of what's involved either in this course or in this module. But then also, and again, just drawing on The Walking Dead, you know, there are various incidents in that you'll be faced with a situation that two members of your group are fighting, and you have to make a decision on which one you should essentially drag off the other one to stop them fighting. And what those sort of decisions do is, you obviously know in the short term you're going to side with one of them, and in the long term you're unsure what that relationship is going to look like with the other person, because you've left them to it. And I think the same applies in the sort of scenario that you're giving then. It's important to show the learner in small steps that, you know, this is what's happening in the short term, and we use things like branching scenarios for that. So we gently bring them into the situation. We say, okay, you've chosen one of these two actions. As a result of that, you can see that this has affected the situation already. And essentially that's something that the learner will start to take on board and, you know, propel out to a far wider understanding of the topic.
Do you find that the people you're designing for give you the liberty to go there, or do you have to, how hard a sell is that for you to?
I think previously it's been very difficult because I've very much tried to take on these ideas from the beginning of my instructional design journey. Whereas now I think with the popularity that gamification is currently enjoying, it's a lot easier. And actually now what you do is you have clients that are coming to you asking for gamification elements. So the sell has certainly got far easier in recent times, but that certainly doesn't mean that it's an easy ride for you once you're in that process. And something like scenarios, you know, it's, we work in such a fantastic sector to be able to have access to, you know, as your example alluded to before, you know, things like the crane accident. You know, we have fantastic case studies and examples that we can use, and some really engaging content. And, you know, what our job then with gamification is to make that even better for the learner. And really give them a sense of, you know, engagement and belonging with that content.
And I guess it just depends on the type of organization. Again, back with that crane, what we had designed, I thought, of course, was fantastic, that there is this one key player in the company that everybody knows. And as they were making their decisions, then, like, when we'd get to the, because there was like eight different components of, you know, gears and wire rope and all these things that have to go together. But based on the decisions that they made, we had this guy, we just called him JT, this character that we created that, you know, well, how's JT? You know, where is JT? So based on their decisions, like, he was either, you know, swimming with the sharks in the ocean, or he was like successfully loading his load onto the barge. And, you know, like we had him in a hospital with crutches and bandages.
Yep.
But I just thought it was great fun. But the people over the organization said, you know, I'm sure you probably hear this kind of thing too. We don't really need fun here. These guys are paid to learn this, so they'll learn it because that's their job. And, you know, I was like, yeah, how's that working for you? Because it hasn't so far. So
yeah.
That's why I was asking you how far they let you go with the scenarios. Because,
yeah.
I mean, it has to have emotion tied with it or it'll be meaningless. It's just more words on the, if it's not some kind of either fun or wow or
yeah.
I'm not saying negative, but – you know, when you're talking about, like, I want to ask you about some of your, I know you've done some systems training, but when you've got something that we're talking about real lives, real people,
yep.
There should be some emotion involved in the learning, because it's not just, well, whether I know how to conjugate a verb. This is different.
Yeah, I absolutely agree with you. Yeah, and I worked with a large client in Europe, and we did diversity and inclusion training with them. And of course, That's a great topic for emotion and, you know, a lot of feeling involved.
Yeah.
And we actually took this Walking Dead model and we applied it to that diversity training, which was a huge success. We had sort of those really engaging decisions to make. You had the option of interrupting a conversation that you didn't feel was acceptable. Certain characters remembered when you either defended them in a conversation or if you didn't defend them. And yeah, something like that with great emotional content and something that people can really feel passionate about. But also key to that is an understanding business, but also an understanding subject matter expert. You know, as soon as you get on board with that subject matter expert and, you know, you can speak openly about these ideas, you know, you're on to a winner.
Yeah. And I guess a lot of it depends, too, on the type of delivery of the training, whether it's going to be instructor-led, e-learning, blended, because all of those tie into the willingness for how far to go in design. When you think about the more boring training, this systems training, well, a lot of people find them boring. What tips can you share with people who are struggling with systems training and the design of it?
First of all, never consider systems training boring. Systems training is a fantastic opportunity to really surprise people. And that's always how I viewed that is, you know, there are so many people out there. And of course, I've also done those boring systems training modules that, you know, you have to do. But what we can do with systems training is, you know, if you look at things like apps on, you know, your iPhone, your iPad, there are a lot of apps out there that lend themselves very well to something like systems training. So there's a game out currently called Papers, Please, which is a game based on you being an immigration officer at a newly opened border checkpoint. And you have a lovely display screen that is perfect for systems training. So it uses real scenarios, which is, again, really key. Uses real scenarios. You have access to a system, which you can click on and maximize. And if you're looking at making your own systems training, think about involving things like scenarios. You know, a lot of people go with that method of, you know, show me how to do it, and then I'll replicate it. And what we have an opportunity to do is, you know, things like virtual coaches work really well. Have somebody on screen that can offer you some of those, you know, tips, advice for the learner on how to use the system, slowly guide them through, but then introduce real events. You know, if you're designing something for a retail store, for instance, use the system, have real customers that have real needs, such as refunds or multiple purchases. You know, scenarios are key to a lot of current learning.
Let's talk about the whole idea of gamification then. Do you adopt gamification? Do you bring it into every piece of training you design?
For me, there's sort of a clarification on gamification as a whole. And I think in especially in the e-learning industry, there has been this boom recently of gamification and wanting it and inputting it in every course. And what that started to look like for people is leaderboards and point scoring systems or achievements. And, you know, whilst on the surface of it, that is gamification, I tend to adopt it in a narrative point of view and in a scenario point of view. So, yes, I do tend to use gamification methods in every piece, but sometimes they're not as obvious as something like a point scoring system. So a lot of the work that I do is almost in the background and is in that engagement gamification piece. And it isn't so much in that representation on screen with, you know, your flashing achievements and your point scoring. But yes, it does play a massive part in the majority of the projects I do now.
Yeah, I think that's so. I have been just fanatical about narrative forever. Ever since I started designing, I don't think there's a training that I've designed that I haven't included narrative in it. It just seems to me that I've got to get from here to there. So how can we get there and keep people wanting to be engaged? And I think the biggest challenge for me when I deliver other people's, because I speak, and so I some of my contracts are long-term contracts with clients who they're what I'm delivering was designed, and I'm supposed to just deliver what was already designed. I mean, I could bring a little bit of me, and I think that is the most difficult part for, because some of these are long, like 3 days, and just to keep tying everything together, you know, like that cycling back, like you cover this module, then you move on and you never touch it again. And so I am constantly working on trying to spiral back through that. We learned this way back on day one, and now we're still talking about it on the afternoon of day three, and the more you include a narrative, the easier it is for you to do that. I think that some people feel like it's trying to oversimplify or I think sometimes people feel like narratives are taking away from their content. And from my perspective, it's the wrong view of it. What are your thoughts on that?
Yeah, I'd be tempted to agree with that, because I think that if you look at something like video games as well, you know, we remember those key parts from video games, or I do especially, from years on. So that narrative, and I can remember exactly what happens during that point of a video game, mm-hmm. And something that has that powerful a link to me, you know, that comes from the narrative aspect. And you're exactly right with what you're saying, and that, you know, you do have to do things and you have to link back to content that you've previously discussed. And again, one of the best ways of doing that is by, you know, shocking people, making them remember the decisions they made along that sort of path that you're on. You know, and looking at your narrative and really getting involved in that is one of the best ways of doing that.
You know, I go back to, you could tell I haven't let it go yet, that the gentleman making the decision on the money for that curriculum we were designing, who looked at us and said, you know, they're paid to do this. And I know from week after week of delivering these kind of trainings that on day three, I bring up something that we talked about on day one and they have no recall of it at all. I mean, it's like we never talked about it. And I know that when we do a narrative, it's that hook. You need that hook to connect in your brain so that you can go find it again. I'm just so excited about the work that you're doing. It's just really good. Now, what advice would you give to people who are looking to implement? And let's talk about your kind of, when I talk about your kind of gamification, I know people think gamification and, you know, points, badges, leaderboards, and I, you know, points maybe in some capacity because you do have to kind of keep score. I do like teams. I really like putting people on teams. I do that more so because of fast learners, slow learners, though. Besides points and badges and leaderboards, unless you want to bring those in, how would you give some advice to people about implementing gamification in their designs?
So first of all, go and play games. Awful advice to anybody that's a parent and urging their children to go and play games. But this is something where I always sell that point to my girlfriend, and I say that every time I purchase a new game, I'm essentially, you know, I'm buying into a piece of creativity for myself. So, you know, that's first and foremost, that's what, you know, you should do. Get yourself immersed in those sort of situations. And even apps, you know, I browse the app store frequently to look at the way that people are designing new user interfaces, to see the way that graphics are displayed. You know, there's a lot of inspiration that we can draw from a lot of free material that's available online now. But one key thing, and this is my whole enjoyment and pleasure from scenarios, is that a lot of the things that we currently do in instructional design and e-learning, we can just make small changes on that start to introduce these gamification methods. So don't be scared to have a look and get involved in gamification. Things like scenarios, we already have the content to design really good scenarios when we pick up a project. So what it is, it's a case of sitting down with your subject matter expert, deciding the way that things can work and factor in, and start to think about your narrative through a course. There's also a piece on the consequences, and I spoke about this in this latest blog post, but we can design with consequences in mind as well. And that's a really powerful tool, because once we start designing with consequences, so for instance, we can put a learner on a health and safety course, and we can allow them to complete several actions. And what we do is, after they've completed several of those actions, we go back and we say, okay, this incident would have occurred if you did things the way you just have done in this course. And the power we have of something like designing with consequence in mind is that there's a big piece of learning that goes on in that reflection. So when somebody looks back and says, oh, I did do that at that point, there's a big piece of learning and retention that happens at that stage in the learning process. Mm-hmm. So small changes, scenarios, consequences, for me, they are two of the best things to come on board with gamification for. Easy to implement, and actually, on a personal level, will get you feeling very creative and almost... you feel slightly like a script writer or like a story writer at the same time. So there's a lot of pleasure to be taken from that.
Yeah. And again, going back to your blog that I read this morning, I think it's really important to bring up that when we say the word consequences, we kind of automatically have a negative connotation of that. And it's important to make sure we also give them wins. So we don't want to, we're not, it's not like us against our player, us against the learner. It's like, how can we help get them making the decisions that give them that, yes, I got that, or, ooh, that's not good. We need a good mix of the two, not just a negative consequence, which is kind of the connotation of that. Every choice we make has a consequence. Some are good, some are bad. So that's good. All right, so we're just about out of time, although I could talk to Josh all day on this. I'm sure he's got other things to do too. So look below, connect with Josh out on Twitter. It's at Gaming Training, and his blog is Gaming in Training. It's a wordpress.wordpress.com. You can link on that below. Anyone who's in your network, who's in this arena of design or delivery of talent development programs, forward them the link to this program. Forward them the link to Josh's blog. They will thank you for it. Josh, thanks for being on the show with us today. Is there anything final as we go you want to add?
No, I mean, I just think that if the one message that I could get across to people now was to not be fearful of getting involved in gamification, and not only don't be fearful, but break things down. Start to look at your content in bite-sized chunks. The more time you spend getting familiar with that content and looking at it from a different angle, the better it's going to be. And I know you've just plugged the blog, but the blog is a fantastic aid in giving you that creativity and an alternate way of looking at your content. So thank you very much.
And so if you're not sitting in front of a computer because you download these to your phone or other MP3. It's gamingintraining.wordpress.com, and that's Josh, Joshua Roberts. Thank you, Josh. Hey, connect with me at my website, monicacornetti.com. Interesting information, a lot of fun things coming up here starting in February, so I'll keep you posted on that. Josh, thank you, and we'll see everybody again next week. Thanks, everyone.